Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. And now, just to prove that public radio isn't always bound by political correctness, we're going to talk about a new book just for women. It's called Science for Her.
Everyone knows women's brains aren't biologically constructed to understand scientific concepts, and women's tiny hands aren't biologically constructed to turn the large, heavy covers of most science textbooks. That's why I've written a book that makes science fun and easy for women of all sizes. Except plus sizes.
Okay, so that's Megan Amram. She's a comedy writer who works on the NBC series Parks and Recreations, starring Amy Poehler. Her new book is a work of satire described as the unholy love child of a science textbook and a particularly raunchy issue of Cosmopolitan magazine. The book includes tips on everything from fashion staples for each step of global warming to what religion is right for your body type. It's won praise from comedians and feminists alike, including Gloria Steinem, who writes, "If there's one thing more important than science, technology, engineering, and math, it's laughing." Author Megan Amram will be appearing tonight at the Harvard Bookstore event at the Brattle Theater in Cambridge, and she's with us now. And Megan, welcome to Radio Boston. It's great
Hello.
To have you.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
This is really, really funny. And you have to see this book to understand it. So I have the book in front of me and a issue of Cosmopolitan. And in terms of their covers, they have a lot in common.
Yeah, I really wanted my book to look as much like a women's magazine like Cosmo as possible so that people might accidentally buy it, thinking it would just be a fun and flirty way to figure out what boots to wear this winter, and then they're just horrified.
So tell me what sort of inspired this idea.
Yeah, I am a comedy writer, and I've written prose comedy for free on my blog for a while, and I thought, why don't I cash that in, write a book? That's how you get all the money these days, print media. And I wanted it to be higher concept than just a collection of pieces. So I thought aesthetically a woman's magazine would be super fun to write. And if I really looked into what satire, I wanted to use that aesthetic to support. It sort of occurred to me that a science textbook would be the most sexist thing you could write, insinuating that women have no control over their bodies or the outside world, and they don't understand anything, and their brains aren't even physically large enough to hold science in them. And then it just all fell into place from there.
Well, it's really, really funny. So I thought what I want to do is, so here's the Cosmopolitan. So just to remind people the kind of stuff that ends up on Cosmopolitan, 38 sex tricks, so naughty, so nice, find your sparkle, celebrity exclusive, my naked photos were stolen. I like this one, get the epic love you deserve, hashtag bearskin rug. Okay, so.
I wish I had written those. Those are so funny.
Well, yours are good too. So here are the ones on your cover. Hot reproductive sex tips. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I read those, and I'm afraid we can't read them on this family show. sexiest molecules. Mm-hmm. I like that. Organisms versus orgasms.
It's a common mix-up.
It's a common mix-up. And Marie Curie versus Marie Claire. Yeah, they're yes. Another common.
Spoiler alert, Marie Claire wins. She's way cooler.
So as I was preparing for this interview, my producer brought me this actual Cosmo thing. But did you use real resources like this, the real Cosmo?
I did. Yeah. I bought so many women's magazines, which I will say my fascination with them has always been from an outsider's perspective. I've read them on and off since I was probably 12. But I always felt uncomfortable or just like I wasn't the target audience for them.
Why'd you read them?
They're everywhere.
They're just irresistible, right?
Yeah, they're pretty ubiquitous if you're a girl growing up in America. They just end up at hair salons or slumber parties, or you buy them when you go on the airplane. And to do research for this book, I bought a stack of like 30 at once and wanted to read them all together in a row without stopping so that I could find patterns, like a beautiful mind style, just finding all the patterns in the magazines. And it made me feel crazy. It put me into a trance where the editorial voice of the magazines really gets you. It's simultaneously calling the reader her best friend and then also telling her that she needs to lose weight or do something else to find a man, wear a new type of cape. I don't know.
Right.
So that's the voice I used for my textbook, was the very extreme version of that, where I constantly am telling the reader that she's my very best friend, but also that she's too fat to read my book.
Now, Megan, you went to Harvard, and I read that former Harvard president Larry Summers' emphasis on the underrepresentation of women in the sciences when you were a student in part sort of inspired you to write this book?
Yeah. He made a pretty famous statement right before I got there, which I will probably poorly paraphrase, but I think it was something along the lines of that there might just be biological differences in terms of aptitude for things like science and math, and that men might actually have more of an aptitude on average than women. And I think that that is something that a lot of people think. And in my humble opinion, it's super wrong. They're totally forgetting the bias that women are not exposed to these jobs or fields as young girls, and also are just not encouraged to go into them, and there's not as much of a precedent. So there's all these different reasons why women might not be highly succeeding in these industries, and also that they just might not consider it an option. So until we get to that point, I think we can't really state for certain.
I'm wondering if there's any part of you, you know, I was looking at this for a lot of today, and it's so funny, but I'm just wondering if there's any part of you that's worried that someone might pick this up and actually might not get the joke.
Oh, definitely people have done that, and I'm not worried about it. I think it's hilarious, which I guess is like a devilish streak in me. I really don't like pranks, so this is as close as I come.
Well, how did you
like
hear about it? Did people like write to you?
Yeah, well, there's reviews. I really love reading reviews of this book, because most of them are really great. So that's been wonderful that a lot of people seem to get it and enjoy it. But then I saw some review somewhere that was something along the lines of a dad saying he bought this for his middle school girl.
Oh, dear.
And that it was, he was like, I read it and I liked it, but I don't think it was appropriate. And I was like, yeah, you should probably, even the cover gives you a little hint that maybe it's not appropriate, or that maybe it's a little tongue-in-cheek.
Right. It just doesn't say, this is satire. Maybe not appropriate for your middle school daughter.
Right. There's no stamp that says this is satire. But there also have been female scientists who have made comments online saying that they think it's horrible and it's objectifying women. And I also want to tell them, it's okay. We're on the same team. I'm really trying to work for you.
Well, I mean, there is some darker subject matter in this book. For example, you have a whole section on legitimate rape, which is a reference to a 2012 interview with former Republican Congressman Todd Akin, in which he said that if a rape is legitimate, his word, the female body has ways to try to shut the whole thing down.
Yes.
Right. So did you, what was the thinking behind using material like that going into those territories?
Totally. I thought for a really long time whether or not I wanted to include anything about sexual violence or assault, because I really am sensitive to I never would want to offend someone who had been the victim of something. Yeah. Truly would never want to do that. But I also thought to myself, this is a feminist comedy piece. And it would seem irresponsible not to talk about something like violence towards women, which is such a huge part of every woman's day-to-day life, whether it's just thinking about it or being a victim of it. So I did really consider all outcomes and thought it would be best to put something hopefully so satirical in it that you would immediately know it was making fun of Todd Akin. I basically explained scientifically why he was correct, though it might sound crazy. The female body does have ways to shut that whole thing down, including the fallopian tubes just tie into a bow. So a cute little bow, nothing can happen.
That's what he was referring to.
Yeah. Right. No, so he's basically a scientist.
I see.
He's basically a doctor.
Megan Amram, you know, I was reading, we only have about actually 30 or 40 seconds left, but I was reading that you actually started writing comedy on Twitter.
I did. I just started writing jokes, and then people hired me for it.
That's really how you got started. That's amazing. So what's the best Twitter joke you ever wrote, or one of the best?
Ooh, that's tough. I think the best Twitter joke is best seen, but it's my favorite one is my blood, spelled B-L-O-D, is typo. So I guess that comes across a little bit spoken.
All right, here's one. I'm going to read one. This is one that you wrote. At what age does Ryan Gosling have to change his name to Ryan Goose?
I mean, there's just classic comedy for you.
Here's one that I like. At the intermission of musicals, there should be a very short football game.
I'm glad.
Good one.
That's inspired by true life events.
That's great. Well, I've been talking to Megan Amram. She's a writer for the NBC sitcom Parks and Recreation, and she's author of Science for Her. She'll be appearing tonight at the Harvard Bookstore, at a Harvard Bookstore event at the Brattle Theater in Cambridge. Megan Amram, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
Real pleasure to have you. And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.